We've been talking about different kinds of stress and our responses and our responsibility towards it. We've discussed how some stress is what we would call endemic stress. It's stress that just happens naturally due to the common course of life, just things that happen on a cursed earth. We talked about how in those moments we, you know, look to the Lord. We tuck in closer to Him. We listen. Those can be moments of gathering strength. They can be moments of education. Things that will help us out to be stronger. Things that will put us into a position to be a help to others. We have talked about how sometimes sin enters into our lives because we've invited it through sin. Today I want to look at another kind of way that we bring stress into our lives. Now, why is it important for us to know? Well, if you've got a rat in your house, don't you want to know how it got in there? You know, the best way to make sure that you don't have a rat problem is to stop them from coming in. And if I can stop anymore, if I can stop the bleeding, if I can stop the flow coming into the boat, well, then I can think clearly enough to deal with the water that's already there, deal with the problem that's already there. So we need to know how we're bringing this stuff in. Sin will bring stress into your life. It will. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Sin will lie to you and say, hey, I will help you. I will be the best thing for you. But it's going to leave you high and dry every time. Remember the Lord's promise, be sure your sin will find you out. And when it does, it's not going to take it easy. There will be embarrassments, large and small. There will be debts to pay, damages done. It's going to happen. So Psalm 73, we want to look at a different kind of way that we bring stress in. And it says in verse 1, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. I want you to take a look at that. Truly, God is good. Truly, He is good. I mean, you think about what we've got today for those of us here in this room. You're in a warm room. You've got clothing on your back. There is a meal sitting there waiting for us in the back. Many of us, we just got done digesting a large meal from Thursday. I'd like to just say, throw this out here, I behaved myself just a little bit. I did. Had a little bit here, had a little bit more there, didn't eat anything all day leading up to it. I went home, I felt okay. I was super tired. Felt good. But you know what? We had food, didn't we? Food aplenty. You might not have even been able to afford all of the food, but different relatives came in and they brought, just like what we're having here, potluck style, different people bringing in food. And maybe we couldn't have afforded the whole feast on our own, but together we made it happen. We get to partake in that. We are blessed. Many of us, you came by car that you can drive. We've got at least enough health to be sitting up. God is good. It is when we take our eyes off of God and put them into dangerous places that we invite stress into our lives. So now we see here, verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean mind. That's a clean heart. That is a perfect start. I love the start, verse 2, but as for me, and that's the rub, isn't it? Hey, I know God is good. I know His word is sure. I know He keeps His promises. I know all of these things. But as for me, see, I've made an exception out of myself. There's something wrong with me. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. God is good, but I could use some help. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their deaths, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Now, what we see here is a bit of a journey. They're looking at the world and they're looking at the sinners in the world. And they're saying, I want what they have. But look how evil they are. Don't we do that so very often? Preachers do that all the time. I know I do. We point out the world. We point out their behavior. I like to pick on false religion. You know, there's people out there. The pastor drove up in an $80,000 car. He stepped into an office that is just immaculate and wonderful and just opulent to the extreme. And he didn't talk to anybody. He just went to his office, probably, you know, had himself an alcoholic beverage, came out onto the stage amidst all the cheers and the percussive screaming. He said about 15 words, none of them close to biblical accuracy. And they shout his name. And he goes back down. He puts on his $5,000 coat, gets in his $80,000 car, goes back to his mansion. And I like to pick on those people. You want to know why? Not because of the jealousy of the money that they have, but because they're doing all of this and people are rushing to them and there's no biblical accuracy. As the Bible says, they are clouds without rain. They are wells without water. And what scares me is those that thirst, those that need their crops to grow, that stand around them and get advice that will not help them get closer to God. That angers me. It angers me when I see out in this world these politicians getting fat and rich by making these decisions. I got a brand new book just recently called The Real Anthony Fauci, and it talked about Fauci's career from HIV all the way up to the current pandemic, and how he used kind of the same technique that he used to help with HIV with COVID. And of course, we found that neither worked. Neither worked. And at the end of the day, he got to put his hat back on his head, retire again, and go, well, I just give advice. What you guys do is what you do. And that angers me. How on earth are we getting billions of dollars into the hands of these people? How on earth are we going? Why is it that when the Word of God is preached right and true, the pews are bare? But if I've got a fog machine and a rock and roll vibe about me, they'll come in. And they'll pay. And what the psalmist is saying here is, I looked at this and I thought, I cleansed my heart in vain. Somebody asked me one time, hey, Matt, these people who go out and they do this nonsense, these false religionists, these politicians, these people who are going out there doing really harsh and bad things, right? Bill Gates, does he understand the penalties of him buying up all this farmland? Like, do you really think they're doing this to be evil, or do you think that they've got a good motive in mind? And I point to this, that the psalm, that there comes a point in somebody where they sit there and they say, I could do it this way and lose my integrity, but look at what I get. And look at how bad these guys are. I don't even have to be that bad, right? I've just got to make some, I just got to make some concessions. I've got to make some small changes here and there. I don't got to be super evil, but I do have to transgress God's law just a little bit, and I'll reap amazing benefits. I think that's where a lot of people get. I don't have to be as evil as these guys. But if I veer off the path enough, I can have this. Because really what's stopping me, what's slowing me down, is that I've cleansed my heart. I've made my ways God's ways. And it's really slowing me down. Right? You can be righteous or you can be rich is really what it comes down to. And there comes a point, I think, in some of these franchise religions where the leaders have to sit there and say, hey, I can be biblically accurate or I can have a good reach. And that's the way they'll put it. I can have a, you won't have a very big reach if you preach that. You'll have a very big following. There won't be, you won't have a very big impact if you preach the Word of God that way. If I'm going to preach the Word of God, I got to preach the Word of God. I don't get to pick and choose. You know, and the psalmist is sitting there, I've cleansed my heart in vain. I've been plagued. I've been chastened. Verse 15, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. In a zero-sum game, in a game where there's, in a pee-wee soccer game, it does not matter how many points I score. You know, if I'm out there and I look good, oh, my mama's going to cheer. Oh, yeah. He stayed on the field, right? He's not like that other kid over there picking grass out of the... Look at him out there. My mom used to teach... was a coach. She coached Little League because there was nobody else to do it. So she coached Little League. And I went from being that kid who sat out in the outfield pulling the grass up, you know, to being that kid who was kind of half paying attention. And she was proud of me when I'd catch the ball. She was proud of me when I would do this, proud of me when I would do that. And I tell you what, if there's no referee, if there's no scores, there's no points, those people out there doing wicked, they're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. If I cheat and swindle, and if I raise my prices in a predatory way, if I use my employees in a devastating and harmful way, I'll make a lot of money. You're absolutely right. You win. If you want to go out there and you want to get ahead legalizing the murdering of children and legalizing the sedation of the masses, if you want to go out there and do that, people will love you. But when I take a good, long, hard look at God, I realize that there are points. There is a referee. And he is far better than any referee in any game, because there's no picking at his calls. There's no picking at his calls. His calls are absolute. I heard a story one time, and I'm sure it happens more than just this one time that I've heard, of things getting so bad for a volunteer umpire that he quit mid-game, just left. Took the $50 they gave him out of his pocket, laid it down, and walked out. He said, no, my God's not like that. Wonder why? Because my God's not just the referee. My God owns the sport. My God owns the stadium. My God built it all by his hands. At the end of the day, when all is said and done, it is his word that will stand. We need to get our eyes off of this world and the nonsense that they are doing. Now again, it's good to be watchful, right? I know some people, well, I don't have any guns because I don't want to have to worry about anything going on. Well, aren't you worried about people breaking into your home? Well, why would I have to worry about that? I got a lock. Well, yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. You know, locks aren't everything. Yeah, no, I got a lock. That's all I need. Well, what about the crime rates in your neighborhood? Well, I don't pay attention to that stuff. Now, there comes a point where not paying attention, it makes you foolish, right? I'm not talking about not being aware of what's going on around you. I'm talking about not looking at them and wanting their stuff. You know, I can't look at another church that's sitting there, and I say church lightly, these rock band get-togethers. I can't look at them and feel any sort of good or feel any sort of decency towards what they're doing. It's bad. It's bad. Well, wouldn't you want their people? Why would I want their people? I hear about how they talk about their church. Right? When I was in high school, there was the band director. I wanted to be at church, and he wanted to have mandatory practices. We had a thing coming up, and mandatory practices. You've got to be here on Wednesday night. If you're not going to be here on Wednesday night, you'll lose your chair. You'll lose whatever position you got, whatever leadership role. You're not here. You are done. I said, but that's when I've got my classes. I've got to go to my classes. I've got church on Wednesday. I go, this is banned, right? This is a very low stakes thing. I'm not going to be able to make it. Well, I got to go. Well, I go to church. I'm supposed to be there on Wednesday and I'll be here. I go, that doesn't mean anything to me. Well, I'm your teacher. I'm the director of this band. You ought to be listening to me. You ought to hear what I have to say. No, I hear you. But you're wrong. Right? So basically what you've explained to me is that you are the boss of this thing. Not only have you openly decided yourself to transgress the Lord, but you want me. Like you've created a scenario where I've got to. Right? It's one thing when it's your boss and work is work, but when it comes down to a high school band director who should be at church himself, making rules to pull me out, I quit. I went to the school. I said, hey, listen, this is coming up. He's got this thing, and I want to change my schedule. I changed my schedule. That guy would not be in the same room with me the entire rest of the year. Could you imagine one decision that a high schooler makes changing what room you decide to be in for the rest of the year? That's not adulthood. Well, but I tell you what, there was a lot of folks that should have stood with me that didn't. And I could have very easily sat there and said, you know what? Evil does win, doesn't it? He wasn't hurting anybody. I mean, he was transgressing the Lord, but he was Lutheran, so he really didn't need to be there anyway. It's not like they teach you anything. But, you know, that taking it easy. No, nothing bad happened to them. They went on. They won state competitions that year, and we got good scores and this or that. And to be honest with you, I wasn't all that great at the instrument. They probably did a little bit better because I wasn't there anymore, you know. Don't look at their success and say, I wish I had it, because they don't have success. They don't have success. I want you to think for a second about little Melody. Little Melody's developed a cute little habit. She'll come over to Daddy when he's eating, and she'll grab the food out of my hand and run. And you've heard her when she's getting away with something, right? You've heard the laughter, this peal of laughter she does. And I'll be honest with you, I'm gonna keep being slow about snagging it from her because I enjoy hearing that laughter. And half the time, bless her heart, she'll bring it back to me. She knows what we're doing. Hey, Dad, I stole this. I brought it back to you. There you go. Yesterday wasn't the case. My mom was over, grabbed the food, peeled away, ran off. She was laughing, just ate my chip, just nom, 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 nom. And then I reached down in the bag, I grabbed another chip. And she, we have fun that way, don't we? That's this world. This world is a small child grabbing a hold of abortion, grabbing a hold of billions of dollars, grabbing a hold of all the things that they're doing, all the sins, the sedation, the predatory tactics in entertainment. They're grabbing a hold of these things and they're going, we got it! And then there's going to come a time when the Lord calls us home and that big fat pile of money ain't worth to burn. There will come a time when all their achievements, and I'm preaching, calm it down. There'll come a time when all the things that they love and they enjoy and they are tickled about doesn't mean anything anymore. You can't stand on it. You can't sit in it. It won't protect you. They're going to learn. But I can't see that when I'm looking at them, can I? I see someone running away with the prize. Someone with a big old long reach grabbing that brass ring. That's what I see. But when I look at the Lord, I see the temporariness of their success. The shallowness of it. You know, you see that, you know, Brother Mark was bringing up people. You know, you think about Elon Musk. And Elon Musk lost $100 billion in wealth in the last year. Probably doesn't bother him at all. Probably doesn't bother him at all. You know, you think about, oh man, that's crazy. But you know what? When I sit there and I'm at the dinner table and we're praying and I hear one of my boys pray. Caspian prayed this prayer yesterday, and I shouldn't tell stories, but I think you'll appreciate this one. Lord, help me to be saved. He prays at dinner. Lord, help me to be saved. We're sitting around the table and Melody's laughing and Gideon's being Gideon and Xander's talking about this brand new idea he's got. And there's Caspian just sitting there playing with his food. And there's my beautiful wife. I'm the richest man on earth. I come in the morning on Sunday and all the folks start coming in and I'm excited to see y'all and who's going to be able to make it? Who's feeling good today? You know, just praying. I spend a lot of time. Lord, please help them to feel better. Give them strength. Lord, please give them a safe travel to here and there. And I get so excited. You know, Sunday mornings, I'm the richest man on earth. And I don't have anywhere near what some of these people have. You know, we went to go see that mansion. I'm never going to live in a house that big. All right, not just because I don't think I'll ever make that kind of money, but because that's a lot to clean. That'd be a lot to work on. But I look at the house I have. You know what? I like it. I know where everybody is. All their stuff is there. All my stuff is there. We make memories doing this or that. Oh, the blessings of the Lord. When I look at how temporary the things are that this world has, and I look at the devastation that they cause and the judgment God will bring back down on them for their actions, then I understand what's going on here. Then I understand. I see that it's a bunch of sinners doing sin to get things so they can sin more. But what I have is freedom from that whole process. I'm able to see the joy and the blessings in everything I have. And all of a sudden, I stop playing the game. You know the game I'm talking about, right? That Black Friday game. Right? Danielle sent me out to the grocery store on Black Friday. I went out to Walmart. Whew. You ever do that? I waited for as long as... because I know they're going to be throwing elbows and punches and... whatever. You go through, I mean, the toy aisle was filled with people. The electronics area filled with people. And just, I gotta get this. And they're putting things in the car. Get this. And it was almost like a military action going on among families. And they were biting and they were snapping at each other. And there's little me with a cart. Well, little me. There's me with a cart. Just happy Danielle trusted me with a grocery list. See, I'm starting to gain her confidence. That means something to me, right? And you send me to the grocery store and I come back with all the things. And they're all right things. And she's, that means, but anyway. What's the purpose? We need to act rich. We need to buy all this stuff. Break out the credit card. Okay, that one's maxed out. Break out the other one. And we'll get all this stuff. And we'll give our kids $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 each budget. We're just going to dump the stuff on them. And you know, we don't have a lot of money. So we're going to buy the discounters so we can have a lot of stuff. Why? You know, I think about this. Danielle and I, we made a decision that because prices were going to be so high, we would still do toys. but we would put the emphasis on doing stuff. Right? Because I'm like, it's hard for me to want to shell out, you know, $50 for what used to be $12. Right? So I'll get some stuff. I got my kids, they're going to be taken care of. Okay, don't worry about it. They're going to be taken care of. But I wanted to put the emphasis on some fun, some family memories. Why? Because that's what God gave me. God didn't give me millions of dollars. I wasn't raised a Rockefeller or a Rothschild. I have what I have, and what I have is a gift from God, and what I have is sufficient. And is wonderful. So when I'm sitting there going, well, look at what they have. I want what they have. Look at what they're doing. Well, why is it that they're getting away with this? And why do they get all this? Oh, I'm not worried about that. I have this. I have the truth. I have family. I have church. I have a God who hears me when I pray. We'll pick this up next week. But I want to think about this. Recently, there's always been scandals concerning these big famous preachers. And people always say, well, how is it that a man of God can get himself into this position? Well, it's very simple. They never were a man of God. What they preached wasn't truth. What they did wasn't scriptural. Their behavior was unseemly, and it was always there. But I thought about this. These guys with their $1 million and their all the stuff that they've got in their ministries and the thousands of followers that they have, you know what they didn't have when it all fell apart? God. Because they never had him to begin with. Or if they did, they left him a long time ago. And I pray that some of these men, if there was any truth in them, if there was any acknowledgement of God in them, that they would turn from their ways and go back to him. But I doubt many of them even knew the name. Knew much more than the name, I'll say. When everything falls apart, when I mess up, when this world is hard, at the end of the day, I've got God. Because God has me, I've got God. And there's nothing to be envious of if I've got that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the lessons that you give us through Scripture. Lord, that you preserved words like that of the psalmist here for us to look at and to listen to and to beware of envy. Lord, we love you. Help us to truly appreciate what we have. Lord, your word, your salvation, each other, this place. Oh, Lord, help us to lift it up to you daily. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.